Saddle Valley, New Jersey is a village. At least real estate developers, hearing alarm signals from a decaying upper-middle-class Manhattan, found a village when they invaded its wooded acres in the late 1930s. The white, shield-shaped sign on Valley Road reads, Saddle Valley Village, Incorporated 1862. Welcome. The welcome is in smaller lettering than any of the words preceding it. For Saddle Valley does not really welcome outsiders, those Sunday afternoon drivers who like to watch the villagers at play. Two Saddle Valley police cars patrol the roads on Sunday afternoon. It might also be noted that the sign on Valley Road does not read Saddle Valley, New Jersey, or even Saddle Valley, NJ, merely Saddle Valley. The village does not acknowledge a higher authority. It is its own master. Isolated. Secure. Inviolate. On a recent July Sunday afternoon, one of the two Saddle Valley patrol cars seemed to be extraordinarily thorough. The white car with blue lines roamed the roads just a bit faster than usual. It went from one end of the village to the other, cruising into the residential areas, in front of, behind, and to the sides of the spacious, tastefully landscaped one-acre lots. This particular patrol car on this particular Sunday afternoon was noticed by several residents of Saddle Valley. It was meant to be. It was part of the plan. John Tanner, in old tennis shorts and yesterday's shirt, sneakers, and no socks, was clearing out his two-car garage with half an ear cocked to the sounds coming from his pool. His 12-year-old son, Raymond, had friends over, and periodically Tanner walked far enough out on the driveway so he could see past the backyard patio to the pool and make sure the children were all right. Actually, he only walked out when the level of shouting was reduced to conversation, or periods of silence. Tanner's wife, Alice, with irritating regularity, came into the garage through the laundry room entrance to tell her husband what to throw out next. John hated getting rid of things, and the resulting accumulations of junk exasperated her. This time she motioned toward a broken lawn spreader which had lain for weeks at the back of the garage. John noticed her gesture. "I could mount it on a piece of wrought iron and sell it to the Museum of Modern Art," he said. "Remnants of past inequities? Pre-Gardner period." Alice Tanner laughed. Her husband noted once again, as he had for so many years, that it was a nice laugh. "I'll haul it to the curb. They pick up Mondays." Alice reached for the relic. "That's okay. I'll do it." "No, you won't. You'll change your mind halfway down." Her husband lifted the spreader over a Briggs & Stratton rotary lawnmower while Alice sidled past the small Triumph she proudly referred to as her status symbol. As she started pushing the spreader down the driveway, the right wheel fell off. Both of them laughed. "That'd clinch the deal with the museum. It's irresistible." Alice looked up and stopped laughing. 40 yards away, in front of their house on Orchard Drive, the white patrol car was slowly cruising. "The Gestapo's screening the peasants this afternoon," she said. "What?" Tanner picked up the wheel and threw it into the well of the spreader. "Saddle Valley's finest is on the job. That's the second or third time they've gone down Orchard." Tanner glanced at the passing patrol car. The driver, Officer Jenkins, returned his stare. There was no wave, no gesture of greeting, no acknowledgement. Yet they were acquaintances, if not friends. Maybe the dog barked too much last night. The babysitter didn't say anything. $1.50 an hour is hush money. "You'd better get this down, darling." Alice's thoughts turned from the police car. "Without a wheel, it becomes father's job. I'll check the kids." Tanner, pulling the spreader behind him, went down the driveway to the curb, his eyes drawn to a bright light about 60 yards away. Orchard Drive, going west, bore to the left around a cluster of trees. Several hundred feet beyond the midpoint of the bend were Tanner's nearest neighbors, the Scanlons.